he will keep us a singing. Because he is worthy. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceedingly greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his ministry, working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only is the world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Right here we saw back up in verse 18, a lot of part of it. It says, the eyes of your understanding is being enlightened, that ye may know what is your hope and of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. We have two important words right here in this verse. First one we're going to be looking at is the saints of God. Who are the saints of God? The ones that are saved. The ones that have been born again and has the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their life. And the other word is the inheritance. What is the saints of God going to inherit? The saints of God is going to inherit all of heaven. Everything that God has to offer, we are going to inherit that one day. And he's not just saying, well, you're going to inherit this, and you're going to inherit that, and you inherit this, and that, like a whole lot of family members to do today when they make out a will and everything. I'm going to leave my inheritance to you, son. But what you're going to receive is a portion of the inheritance. And daughter, and you will see, receive the, also the portion of my inheritance. But we're not going to receive just a portion of the inheritance that God has for us. We're going to we're going to inherit everything he has, everything that he's ever said, and everything that he's ever promised through this book. And he has a whole lot more promises than what this Bible is right here in the King James Bible. He has a whole lot more promises, and they're stored up there in heaven for them not to be open, for that book not to be open until the judgment seat of Christ, until we stand before Jesus Christ. That's when it's going to be open. But we're going to find out that there's a whole lot more promises than what this book right here. This book right here just gives us a glimpse. A glimpse of what's going to be. But just think about it. Allow your mind this morning to wander. Don't wander in all the glory that he has for us. To wander into places where we've never even thought we could wander and think about. We need to wander. And when we do, we can just think about that. What has he have? What does he have for us? What does he have for the saints of God? At one time in my life, I wasn't a saint. I wasn't a saint of God. But the reason I'm a saint today is because of his son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. Many New Testament letters are addressed to the saints. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, the believer's place as a member of the body of Christ. That's where he has placed us. He has placed us upon that pedestal that we can look at each other as saints of God. And the individuals in this world, they can see also a change in our life. And when they see a change in our life, then they know that we've walked with God. There's not very many people anymore today that's walking with God. There's not many people anymore that's praying that God use them in a special way. There's not many people anymore that call themselves holy. And I'm not holy. I'm going to tell you, I'm holy. And the only reason I can say that, the only reason you can say that you're holy, is because of what Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ said, you are my saint. And if you think about it, a saint, he's a close to God. He's close to God. We are called saints. But are we really saints in the realm that God looks at it? Do we prosper in man, or do we prosper in the things of God? The saints are God's property. I wasn't my mother's property. I wasn't my father's property. I wasn't my stepfather's property. I wasn't my grandmother's property. I wasn't nobody's property. The only property that I belong to now is tied in with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who I'm tied in with today. And I didn't ask to be tied into it. That was automatic come across when I accepted Jesus Christ, when I asked him to be the Lord in my life, to touch me in a special way, because he has to touch us for us to do any good for him. Do you remember at any time in your life when you've asked God, said, God, just touch me. I want to do something special for you. I want to do something special for you that I don't think I've ever done for you. I just want to do something special for you. Well, before God can bless us with his many blessings, he's telling us that we have to bless him first. Same way with tithes and offerings. The tithes we do, he does not bless us on the tithes. And he does not give us this and that and what we need in life on the tithes. Because them tithes are his. And the tithes, I mean, they say it's 10%. Well, if God can just use 10%, then I think really we can just use 90%. But what if it was the other way around? What if it was the other way around? What would we do? If God says 90% of everything you take in, and that's including the garden, any kind of anything that you're getting, the only thing you can get from it is 10%. But see, God's not like that. God doesn't give us the little amount. Just like he did, the individuals that went out and they went, one of the men there went and he gathered up men to go out there and into the crops and to work all day long. And they worked from sun up to sundown. But yet then they come back. And they come back into the town at noonday. And they came back to get some food. I know it may not be the way it reads and everything, but this is the way I'm going to put it to you. He came and he brought what? He brought in nourishment, not for just him and not for just the other individuals that he had working out there in the field, but he brought nourishment to the individual that saw him in town. Yes, and there in town, there was individuals that needed a job. There was an individual there that needed some money, needed some food and everything for his family. He didn't want his family to die, so he needed some food. And he did not know what the Lord could give him. He said, because here it is, half a day is already gone. And I don't know what you think that I think you could give me. The Lord said, will you come? Come with me. He walked with him. And he talked with the Lord on the way. And he told the Lord. He said, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to do like these other men are doing. Do what they can do. And naturally, the Lord went up to the foreman at that time and he told him, he says, now at the end of the day, When you call quits for the day, and when you go out, and when you give, and when you pay the individual that worked that day for you, each one of them will get a penny worth of what they've earned. Ones that come out at 7 o'clock will not get no more than the one that come out at 12. Do you think they had a pity me party? Do you think they had a, they said, well, no, we got to have a meeting tonight. Because there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. You give it him the same amount, and he was just here 6 hours, and we've been out here 12 hours, and you just giving us the same thing you give him. Something ain't right. That's the way people are today. People today, they go out here and they look for a job. They look for a job. And they go into the place of business where they're looking, where they know something about the business or know something about the job and everything. And what they'll do is go and fill an application out for the job. Then the owner of the company, he will go over the application, or she would go over the application. And they would look at the application and says, you know, they can do this job. They may can do it better than I can. So I'm going to get them. I'm going to ask them, do they want to come to work for us? They go to them and ask them, say, would you be willing to come to work for us for this amount of money? This amount per hour. 5 days a week from 7:30 to 5 o'clock. Are you willing to try? Are you willing to come out? And if the individual is truly looking for a job, then they will say, yes, I will come for that. But then what happens? Then after they come to work, they come to find out that they're doing the same work that the other individuals are doing. But the individual that they had saw doing the same work that she's going to be doing or he's going to be doing, they get fretted. Because the individual that was there first making more money. That's your fault. That's your fault. That's the individual's fault. It's not the owner's fault. It's not the other individual that's making more money's fault. But it's your fault because you accepted what they offered. Now, you with that, you've got to show them what you can offer. You can show them what you have to offer them. And if they truly wanted a job, if they truly wanted to work, that right there, I think they done took that out of the dictionary, the word work. Because people today don't want to work. A whole lot of them don't want to work today. They just think that they can go in, punch a clock, and go in and walk around for 8 hours. Do as little as they can for 8 hours. But see, with them, somebody else on the same type of job is taking up the slack. And then they wonder why. After 30 days or 60 days, that they only end up calling them to the office. And says, and I don't know what's wrong with you, but you seem like that you don't really want to work. You say that you want to work, but you don't. And I can't have somebody here just here for 8 hours and not doing nothing. The saints of God. We need more saints. We need more saints that's out here in the world that has got fretted with another saint. They got it fretted with individuals. But if you ever asked them, well, why did you leave church? Did you leave church because God hurt you? Because God didn't bless you like he blessed somebody else? Is that the reason you left church? No, I ain't the reason I left church. I left church because every time I come in, I mean, there's certain people in church, they just turn their head. I mean, like that they don't want to see me or think that I got cooties or something like that. No. We are saints of God. And the reason for saints of God is to accept them in God's house. Whether I like them or whether I don't. Once they come through that door, that likeness or dislike goes out the window. Matter of fact, they shouldn't even be in church. The saints are God's workmanship. Who works in a church? The saints of God. The people that love God. The people that love the church. The people that love the individual sitting beside them. And the people, the pastor, that is the pastor over the flock that God has given them, that he is commanded by God to love each and every one and not have favoritism over anyone. Well, love all the same. You know, I know some preachers now that they, when they was pastoring, I don't know if you say too friendly or what, I don't know. But the individuals that was at the church, it seemed like that they kind of stuck a little closer to somebody else than it did the other individuals. And I hope and pray that I'm not like it. And I hope and pray that I don't ever get like you. But I know one thing. That when you do that, you have partiality towards people. You'll do more for them, and you want to go out and eat with them. You want to invite them and their family over to your home and eat more than you would anybody else. It's not right. You need to treat everybody the same. Including me. I'm supposed to treat each and every one of you the same. I should not look upon anybody here any different than the other individuals. Oh yes, we have different things and we have different problems. I understand that. God understands it also. But even with the disappointments and the problems that we have, don't you think that we can't help the individual with our circumstance, with the problems, with the troubles, disappointments? I do. Because see, it may be that they just looking for somebody. Just say, I sure am glad you showed up today, and I love you in the Lord. I'm glad you came. That's what we need to do. Let people know that we care. And if I didn't care about you, I would not be behind this pulpit today. Because that's one thing I ask God when God's called me to pastor a church. I asked God, I said, God, not me. I can't do that. I can't do it, God. And he kept on. I said, God, the only way I can ever pastor a church, you're going to have to give me a pastor's heart. You give me the pastor's heart, I'll go ahead. I said, but right now, I don't have the heart for it. He kept working. He kept working. And I keep going. And I keep going visitation. It looked like every one time, I was getting down low because I know what the Lord wanted, but I couldn't surrender. I didn't feel like I could surrender because I want fulfilling his need. You know, and he is a needy God. He has tears just like we have tears. And I'll tell you, man, his heart has definitely been broken. His heart has been broken from the people that said they loved him. But yet now, where are they at? Oh, they say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. And I can just get all his Bible and all the teaching that I need on TV. No, you can't. I'm sorry. You cannot do it. Because you're not fellowshipping one with another. You're not fellowshipping with his saints. In Exodus chapter 39, verse 3, it says, it's talking, speaking of a picture of here of a metal worker, where we read, they hammered out the sheets of gold. That is exactly what God is doing with us. He is taking our lives and making them into something useful and worthwhile. One other thing I want to mention. Number three, the saints are God's dwelling. We are dwelling with royalty. We are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're in His presence. Every time we come to this church, every time we gather here, we are in His presence. Why? Because we become a body of Christ. And we're in His presence. Oh yeah, some people, I mean, if Donald Trump, if he come down and had his limousine and everything, and then he had all his entourage around him and everything, following him in and everything, yes, there'd be people right in Danville. They'd walk out of church so they could get just a glimpse of the limousine that's carrying the President of the United States. Just a glimpse of that limousine. I sure am glad that one day that I had a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit convicted my heart, convicted my soul. And when I had a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on Calvary, and He saved my soul, hallelujah. And then I had a glimpse of heaven, praise God, and I've never got over that glimpse. Because one day I'm going to leave this earth. And when I do, I'm going home. And I ain't going home on no 737. I ain't going home on no jet. I ain't going home on no astronaut. I'm not going. Only way I'm going home the way God's going. I'm going to follow Him. We can all follow the Lord if we want to. If we need to, we can follow Him. But if they don't ever get saved, they can't follow Him. But one day, they're going to wish they had. And that's going to be at the white throne judgment. They're going to wish they had. They're going to wish they had followed Him. And they're going to wish they had listened to the Holy Ghost. They're going to one day wish they had come down when the song was sung, Amazing Grace. They're going to wish they had came down. They're going to wish they had came down when the song was, Are You Satisfied? Have you been redeemed? One day they're going to wish they had. And that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember all the times, every opportunity that led them. That would lead them all the way to Calvary. And not only that, it would lead them home to a beauty that has never been seen. These individuals that's on TV, and these individuals as I hear, even today in society, they said they've experienced where they have died. They took their last breath here on earth. But yet then they woke up and they woke up there where there's a bright light. And they called it heaven. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the only bright light that they seen was of the doctors light that they had on the helmet or whatever in doing the surgery. Because they did not see the light of heaven. Why? I do not believe of all the saints, every Christian around this world, I do not believe that they can come up and say, yes, I died and I went to heaven. But then the Lord said, I'm not finished with you. You go on back home. I'll tell you one thing, if I was one of those individuals, I'd be begging and pleading with God the Father. Don't send me back home. I ain't lost them down now. I know my wife's down now and my daughter's down now, but both of them are saved. When time comes, when you want the individual to blow that trumpet, they coming up too. Hallelujah. And we're going to all meet together. We're going to all meet around God's throne. Around God's throne. I don't know about you, but you know, there's some family members that's there now in heaven. I long to see them again. And that's my mother, the one that gave me birth. And my stepfather, that raised me and my four brothers, my three other brothers, four of us. I know both of them are saved. But the fondest memories that I have of anybody is my grandmother. My grandmother Murphy. Ivy Murphy. I tell you what. And Shelby could tell you the same thing. We could go and we'd be all get ready for bed or something like that. Well, Grandma, she'd always go first. Because she'd always get into bed. Seemed like it was before dark. But she'd always be the first one in. And you see that little light that she had on that was behind on a headboard of the bed. She'd have that on. And she'd have her Bible reading every night. Every night. That's what put her to sleep. Was reading that Bible. And she did not wake up either at all here tonight. Because she didn't wake up and take the Bible off of her chest. The Bible was still there the next morning. Still there the next morning on her chest. She loved God. And she prayed for me. For someone that wasn't no kin to me at all was my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. The first time they saw me, I believe with all my heart that both of them was praying for me. The first time I saw them, I went away to pick up Shelby. I was going on a date that night. And I didn't have no idea what to expect when I come back. I didn't know if I expected somebody to come out there with a double bar shotgun or not. And if it did, I wouldn't have blamed them. But they didn't. They came out there, but they had God all over them. That's what you call a saint of God. They was God's saints. Now, Father, this morning we thank you for your precious word. Lord Jesus, we ask God that you'll be with these fine people. These people are truly your saints. I believe that with my heart. If I did not believe it, Lord, I would not say it. And I also believe that they want to see something happen here at the church. They would love to see more people wanting to come in. And we ain't had no visitors in a pretty good while, Father. And Lord Jesus, and when you bring that visitor in, Lord, you help me, Father, that I may speak the words that you want me to speak. Father, that they would want to come back. And yes, Father, if they're not saved, that they'll get saved. Father, bless this church. And the only way we can even come to you is by faith. And we're bringing to you Faith Baptist Church to you today. And we're doing it by faith in what your word says. Now, Lord, we're asking you now to you do what you do. You speak to hearts and you speak to people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Anybody got any?